This is a continuation of an interview with Ivy Livermore Baney by Shirley Tanzer for the Beaverton Oral History Project. This is tape 2, side 1. The date is October 10th, 1982.
We've talked about the fact that you married Mr. Baney and you met him through your uncle and aunt. Now, where did you live after you married Mr. Baney?
I was living in Longview, Washington.
Oh, that's right. You did tell me.
And I took up a nursing course down there. And I went to a school and it was, what was it called then?
Well, I believe you trained at the Longview Memorial Hospital.
Yes, that's where I did my training.
That was for a year, and then you were a licensed practical nurse.
And then I got my license as a licensed practical nurse. Then I came back up to Washington County. After I married Wes, and I said to him, he was working at, I met him over to my uncle's one Sunday, and of course I'd known him all my life, and he said, can I come down to see you someday? And I said, yes, but be sure and phone me ahead of time so I'll know when you're coming down. Well, he didn't miss any time. The following Sunday, Saturday night, he called me, and he says, will you be home tomorrow? And I said, yes. And he says, I'm coming down to see you. And I said, well, now I had told him where I was living and how to get there. And I said, about what time will you be there? Be down. Oh, I think it'll take me an hour or two. I'll be there before.
Now, where were you living at this time?
What?
Where were you living at this time?
I was living out of Kelso with a friend of mine who I had met in Kelso when I went down there.
So you were living in Kelso, Washington?
Yes. I was living down there with her. And she took up this nursing. And that's the way I come to take up. And we trained in the Longview Hospital.
Well, after you were married, after you married Mr. Baney, did you move, and you lived in Longview?
Oh, yes.
What year did you move back to Portland?
I moved right up, right away. What year
That they talked it over and decided they'd known each other since she was 8 and he was 16 years old, and they were both getting older. So they figured, what was the use in waiting? If they wanted to marry, they got married in 1 month from the time. that was
and
pretty speedy.
He was
60 and she was 52.
He was running the Durham Rock Crusher. He was the boss. And the way he came down, there was snow on the ground, and and he thought he would be laid off while they had the snow. And he said, I'll come down tomorrow morning. And I said, all right, I'll put the coffee pot on. You tell me what time you'll be here. When he walked in, okay, he came in and, we went and sit down and started to talking. And he said, Ivy, I've been thinking all the way down here. Would you marry me? He proposed to me before he drank his coffee.
And what did you say?
I said, what are we waiting for?
And you got married right away.
Yes, yeah. We got married. I made him go home that night. I said, do this for me. You go home and think this over. And I said, now I think you might think it over, and I'll think it over. And then you call up tomorrow morning, you can come down, and if you're not working. And I called Florence up to Portland, and I said, Wes and I...
No, she said, I'm going to be married tomorrow. Would you like to come to the wedding? I said, good grief, who are you going to marry? And she said, Uncle Wes.
She called him Uncle Wes all her life.
You knew him all along?
Oh, yes, of course. I've known him all my life. And I call him Uncle Wes. That's the reason she said, I'm going to marry Uncle Wes.
And
I said, well, Mother, you haven't been going together very long. She said, I was 8 and he was 16 when we met, and time's getting away from us.
Oh,
she was 52 and he was 60, and they just
decided we'd get married right away. So the next,
the next day you got married.
And you came over, she came over, and Nancy came with you. And her husband was sick, and he took care of
The other two children. And this friend of hers, Thelma Revis from Kelso, drove them down in her car. And
I called her, this woman I'd been living with, or she was living over here on the place I was living, and she wasn't home. She was up to her sister's place. And I called her up and I said, Thelma, I'm getting married tomorrow. Oh, my heavens, what am I going to do? She says, I can't go on a living without you down here. Oh, I said, I'll tell you one thing I want you to do. I want you to come over and be our witness. And you had to go. First, you applied, and you had to go to the judge in his office. We went in, and we told him we wanted to get married. And the funny part was, he'd been a neighbor of close to where I was living. and I knew the judge very well, him and his wife. And when he said to Mr. Bainey, he says, "What's your hurry of getting married?" We told him we just decided to get married, and this is an old friend of mine.
Now, did Mr. Bainey own this property?
Yes.
He had before?
Since 1926.
So while he was in Longview, was somebody else farming it?
No, he didn't. He lived in Longview.
You're right, but
he never. But traveled back.
Yeah, but then, when he drove the truck.
No, that was my father.
Right. Now that I have to. Okay. So that was your father, and then mm-hmm. when you were divorced, you remained there.
No, she came up here.
I lived with my folks
for a while.
Hubert.
About 10 years that she had been.
And then you went back.
I was 10 years running the beauty shop.
And she worked in the beauty shop down in Kelso.
I see. Right, that I have to get that cast again. All right, so then you worked in the beauty shop there, and then after you married Mr. Bainey, did you come back here?
Oh, immediately.
And moved in.
And do you know what the judge said?
Hard to tell.
He said, "Well, now, Mr. Bainey," he says, "I've known Mrs. Ivy for quite some time. Now, what's your hurry?"
That was because they had to get this special dispensation because of the 3-day waiting period, you see, and they wanted to be married right away.
And Wes told him that he was a boss out to this rock quarry. And
he had to get back on the job.
He had to get back on the job after the snow was off. And he says, "Oh, I guess there's no reason I can't sign that."
So you got married the next day.
Yeah. They were married right then.
No, right that day she came over and met us. And then Mrs. Revis, she had drove us up to Vancouver. And
let me tell you, we had a bad, that was a bad night. They had one of those freezing rains.
Silver thaws.
Yes.
What?
And they just about didn't get back to Kelso.
What was the month?
February 1st.
Oh.
And her car went this way and that way after we'd crossed that river. And it's a wonder we didn't topple over. Give us an awful scare. And she took us back home, and we stayed down there, let's see, about 2 days down to Kelso.
Started packing.
And started figuring how I'd get things packed to move up because he wanted to get back to work. I says, "Oh, I know how I'll handle it. I'll hire a great big truck, a moving truck to move me, and give me a day or two and let me pack."
So you came back here though,
right
early in February,
mm-hmm.
and you lived here ever since.
Ever since.
Now, did Mr. Bainey do farming?
No, he wasn't a farmer. Just this little piece of property. Oh, I see, he wasn't. Yes, he had a cow, and he had horses, or a horse for a while, but not at the time we was married.
What did he do for a living?
Well, he was working at the rock quarry.
So he continued in that?
Yes, he continued working for the county.
Just 5 years.
Mm-hmm. And then, oh, we hadn't been married only a week or two, and I said to him, there was an ad in the paper, they wanted practical nurses. What did they call it then? I can't think right now.
Well, that would be training for the home health care, was it, for Medicare? It was going to start in July the 1st, 1966.
And so right away, I said, I would like to go to work. Nursing. Would you care if I did that? Well, he said, you really don't have to, but I'll tell you what, I'll make you a bargain. Now, he said, when I retire, when it comes time for me to retire, will you let me go fishing? If you will, I'll be home every night and have your dinner ready. He loved to fish and hunt.
I think that was when you were working for the Jenkins family, the Jenkins estate. She took care of him for about a year and a half before he passed.
Oh, I took care of him before I went out. That was right, and he passed away.
Tell me about the Jenkins family.
Oh, Mr. Jenkins had a real bad time. He lived about the first case I went on was his. Soon as they heard about me, being trained in Washington, they wanted to hire me. And I went up, and I was their day nurse, and
that was 12-hour shifts.
Yes.
A long day.
I went early, and they had a night nurse. And I get along with him just fine.
What was the matter with him?
He had diabetes, and then he was almost blind.
And didn't he have one leg amputated?
And he had one leg amputated. And
he was bedfast.
And
who were the other members of the family at that time who lived in the house?
They didn't have any children.
Jenkins never had?
No, she was in Ainsworth, and they didn't get married till in late years, and they rode horses. Maybe you've heard about them.
Well, I knew they had horses.
And they had a beautiful home. And, of course, she was the money. He was a horse, he took care of the horses for the Ainsworth.
Oh, did she marry the hired man?
She married the hired man.
I didn't know that.
That was frequently done. The same thing happened to the Walkers.
And
it's not as unusual.
And
I guess he was tall, handsome. remember pictures.
Mr. Jenkins?
Yes.
He was an awful nice man to work for. He never hollered or crabbed about anything.
So yours was the day shift. It was a 12-hour day shift.
Yes.
And they had a cook, and they had a gardener, and chauffeur,
and
a man that did the.
They had a dog.
Oh yeah.
They didn't have a cat, but they had a dog. We got two cats. And he was a person that he was very well educated, and he never crabbed. Now she was a little hard for some of the people to get along with, but she never was crabby with me. She was always nice.
So you took care of him for a year, and then did he pass away?
Yes.
And then what did you do?
Then I went to work on this health home care.
Mm-hmm. Now tell me about the health home care.
Oh, you went in the homes. Now, I was trained over in Washington, and I was licensed over there. Now, I went along with them up here and took training that they was given, the nurses up here, and
we might say that because it was connected with the government, you're covered with paperwork.
Yes.
Along with all of the working in the home.
Yes.
But it's
how long were the cases?
Nice work.
How long were the cases? And how long did you stay on one particular case?
Just went from one to another when I worked
day by
on
day.
That.
Two or three. You
I only Mr. Jenkins. That I stayed on his case.
How long did you do this, Mrs. Bailey?
For Mr. Jenkins?
No, not Mr. Jenkins, I mean the health home care.
Oh, health home care. I stayed with that till I was 73. Now, how many years?
I'm a real piker. I quit at 65. But I was there 16 years.
Oh,
I beat you in years.
Yes. She followed me. She worked with me.
Her whole path seems to have followed.
Yes, isn't that strange?
It's very nice. It's a real compliment to you.
Yeah.
Meanwhile, while you were working, what was Mr. Bainey doing?
Oh.
he
went hunting and fishing.
Yes, that was. He said
that
he was one man that really
delight.
Enjoyed his retirement.
And
really
I
good.
Want to tell you, his former wife, she didn't like for him to go fishing. She fussed about it. Well, she was sick and having a bad time. But he'd say, I think I'll go fishing today. Oh, do you have to go today? She didn't want him going. But me, I just said, fish every day, do the cooking.
I'll pack your lunch.
That's right. I think that's the reason he commented so many times. He said, I think I'm the luckiest man alive. I've just enjoyed my retirement. He really did that last.
Oh
my
yes.
goodness! 25 years he was retired.
Mm.
He lived to be 90, and they enjoyed life.
Did you travel when he was retired?
Oh yes, we went
not
to
really
the
far.
Beach. It's about the only place
yeah.
that we had time while I was working.
Were you active at all in any of the Beaverton organizations?
Oh, in the Rebecca's, yes. I was an officer several times in office.
In any political groups?
And no.
I noticed that your father was a very strong Republican.
Yes, I am too.
Well, I would like to ask you a few questions about that. Was there a strong Republican Party in Beaverton?
It was very
Republican man, strong Republican.
Did I ask you about the Ku Klux Klan?
No.
Do you know whether your father ever belonged to the Ku Klux Klan?
No. He never did.
Well, the reason I ask is there was an active Klan in Beaverton.
Yes.
And was old. Did you know about it?
Yes, I knew about it.
A number of people have told me that their fathers or their husbands belong. It advertised itself as a service organization.
Oh, really?
And they joined it. Many of them quit then once they found out what it was.
Mm-hmm.
But they used to meet directly across from where the commercial hotel was.
I remember all of those things.
Yes. Yeah. Did you ever see them marching, the Klan? Do you ever remember?
Yes, I saw that.
That was down in Longview. Didn't they march down in Longview or Kelso one time? I can remember that when
you
I
remember,
was just a...
You
oh, yeah, that's back in the 1920s.
That's when we lived there.
Yeah. Do you remember seeing the Klan in Beaverton?
Oh, maybe once or twice.
Yeah. Do you remember anything about it?
No, I don't. I didn't know enough about it to really tell you anything about. But they had it there.
You were aware of it.
Oh, yes.
Oh, yes.
Did you ever hear where their activities were directed?
No, never did.
Well, it would have to have been anti-Catholic because there weren't any blacks and there weren't any Jews and there were only a few Chinese men. Do you know any of the Chinese who worked in this area?
No.
Japanese?
I knew a Japanese.
Mm-hmm. Who were they?
Well, that was one that worked for my folks. He was a cook.
Yeah. Oh, tell me about him.
He was a real nice Japanese, and he cooked for the folks when they had the meal.
What was his name, do you remember?
Cooley Kuramoto. And he would go to town on once in a while and do shopping, and he'd always bring us all a gift home.
He brought back that corner cabinet in there. Can you see that?
Sure, some of the antiques.
Where did the cabinet come from?
Which?
The one that the Japanese cook brought for you.
Oh, the World's Fair.
The Lewis and Clark?
Lewis and Clark.
Do you remember the Lewis and Clark Exposition?
Oh, I remember everything.
Well, tell me about it.
We went through the, what was that big forestry building? Oh, I thought that was just beautiful. And we took the way my father did, he laid off all the men in the mill for 3-4 days. We went to Portland and we drove horses to take us to Portland, and we put him up in a stable. That sounds funny now to tell that. But we had a big hack. What was it? It had two seats in it.
A surrey?
A carriage. It was bigger than a buggy.
Oh, yes. And
I'm not up on
the horses and the buggy. And we went to Portland and we stayed 3 or 4 days.
This is a continuation of an interview with Ivy Livermore Baney by Shirley Tanzer for the Beaverton History Project. This is tape 2, side 2. The date is October 10th,
1982.
1905, right.
That was right.
So you went to Portland?
And as we went down the canyon road, they had planks on the road. And I remember that. And then we put the horses in the stable and we went to a nice hotel and stayed. And we went every day to the fair. I think the family, stayed in 3 or 4 days. We took everything in. We thought
it was... How old were you at that time? About 8 years old?
Yes.
Do you remember the hotel where you stayed?
If I remember right, it was called St. Charles Hotel. And
that's right, I've heard that name before.
And thought we were so well entertained to go out and have our breakfast, and then we go to the fair. Then we went out to my old friends of my parents, and they went with us one day, and this is what I did. She brought a lunch for the children. There was I and my brothers, and she had two children. So she had a big basket and she brought it along with lunch in. And I was carrying it after dinner. I'll never forget this. We got on the streetcar to come back over town, and they was helping me on, and I gave the basket to the conductor. And she turned around and she says, "Where's the lunch basket?" "Oh," I said, "I give it to that conductor." So she went back and asked him if they found it. Yes, they got it. But here I was carrying the basket. I handed it away.
How long did it take you to get to Portland from Beaverton?
Well, it would take us about, I'd say, an hour and a half.
If you had a good team.
Yes. Oh, we had good horses. My father prided himself in keeping up his horses. And they was only one person that stayed home, and they didn't want to go to the fair. They milked our cows. We had cows. And they milked the cows and took care of things.
I did want to ask you something, Mrs. Bainey. What has happened to your family home and the property in this area, in the Beaverton area?
Well, it's all been sold now, but it just over a matter of time. It wasn't all sold at once. Let's see.
The first house, you've never told me on the tape, and we should have that. The first house is where?
It's over on...
The very first house was on Weir Road.
Yes, that was up on Weir
Road. But that house is no longer.
No.
Okay, the second house is...
was down on the farm, what I call the farm now, because my daddy had the two, you see. That house, it's over there.
Still in existence, isn't it?
Right. And that, and did he sell, was that land your land to dispose of around
no,
there?
No, I don't remember.
Yes, all of that.
Yeah, but did you sell it or was it sold before it came to you?
Well,
I don't remember the details about that. You see, I think it was sold back in the 1930s, wasn't it?
Yes. My father sold that.
No, he died, dear, and...
Before he passed away.
Yes, he was gone. It was... That was part of his estate that he left. But I don't know any details about it. I was too young.
But well, come to think about it...
For years and years, there was a Japanese family that farmed.
They put strawberries in.
Who were they? What was it?
I don't remember their names. Do you, Mother?
No, I don't.
What happened to them?
Well, they got up and left because the crop wasn't very good. And we had to take... My brother and I had to take them to court to get the rent out of them.
Oh.
They was renting the place.
Oh.
And we went to Mr. Hare, and he put it plain to them what they had to do. I remember sitting in his office, and they didn't let it go to court. We was going to have to take them.
But you still owned the property then, so the property had to have been disposed of.
And so they paid up their rent. And then we had the property for quite some time, and till after, I think it was after Father and Mother passed away, and then we sold the farm.
And divided the place on the Blanton Street?
Yes, down to Huber. We divided it up.
That was among the three children, mm-hmm. Francis and my mother and her brother John, but that's been a long time ago.
Mm-hmm.
We pulled it up.
Mm-hmm.
We got together ourselves and talked it over how to divide up and what was equal.
And what about Mr. Bainey's properties?
Well,
we're still on it.
This is it.
Yes, mm-hmm. We still own it.
I don't know how. It's just less than 2 acres.
a little less than 2 acres
about
now.
About 3/4 or something like that.
But we had wills made, him and I both, and then we had, after he passed away, what was it we went through? You're the trustee.
Oh, yes.
What do they call
it? Trust fund.
Now, she, it'll come to her if I was to pass away, if we don't sell it, but we have no idea selling it. We want to stay here.
She must make that clear, you notice.
That's fine.
I'm
not in the business of buying or selling. I just want to find out what happened to the land that people owned. It's that's just interesting. Mm-hmm. Just a part about it. I have a couple of personal questions to ask you about your own philosophy. And what have you learned through your personal experience which might help the rest of us out?
Oh, that's a big question.
Well, I'll tell you what you always say.
I've been through an awful lot of things. What would you say?
You've always said everything that I give out in this life always comes back to me.
Yeah. That's
true.
What my theory is.
That's a very good thing.
All I have did
for others, it always
comes
back.
And I want to tell you this. I have neighbors that live around me up here, our old neighbors. And they always work with my husband. They all work together. Now, when I married Mr. Bainey, the Wolds and the Davises up here, they had acreage. You see, this was the Wold place. And Davis had acreage, and West did. They all worked together. And
hay?
Yes, if they put hay in, he went over there and helped them. And when they put hay in our barn, they come over and helped. And no matter what happened, if we needed help, or when he got sick, they was helping me and doing things, and it just
being a good neighbor.
I would say we've got wonderful neighbors. Now I'm acquainted with the neighbor here and the neighbor over here.
They're new neighbors.
Yes, my new ones. I haven't had time. But all of our neighbors helped and did for the others.
I have another question, and that is, you have a wonderful relationship with your daughter.
I do.
That's very obvious. All right, what is the secret to that?
Sense of humor. I think that's what we live by. I kid and joke with her, and she returns it.
Well, how did you develop that relationship?
I don't know. I'll tell you a little story.
We've always lived.
My daughter, Janet's 34 years old. She lives in Salem. And her neighbor a new neighbor, asked her who her best girlfriend was. And she said, "You know, Mother, I thought about it, and I told her my mother was my best friend." and the girl was quite astounded that I was Janet's best friend. So I guess it's a little something we pass on in the family.
Oh, yes.
So would
and
you say
Janet
yes?
was born on my birthday. And we, all of our family worked together. If anybody's in trouble up there, she runs up, jumps in the car. Janet has
asthma. No, it's just
asthma.
It's something that came down to us from our forefathers.
We always help each other. That's as much as I can tell.
Well, then I'm going to ask you a question because you're very young at heart. I'm going to ask you what your goals are for the future.
Well, I hope to live here and be of help. If anybody needs me, I want to tell you what I told my neighbors. Anytime that somebody is sick, now this is the way they did when my husband was sick. When I'd have to leave him and go shopping, some of my neighbors would come and stay with him. And I said, oh, I've told them all this. I said, now I'm not too able to come in and do nursing, but I want you to remember this. Anytime you need somebody to sit with the sick. Now that's an easy problem. You call on me and I'll come over. I said, and if I'm not able to walk over, bring the car and I'll go with you.
Mrs. Bainey, where do you get your energy and your productivity?
Where do I get it?
Where do you get your energy? Where does it come from?
Well, I consider it comes all through my family. That's the way my parents were. They was always helping somebody, and nobody ever wanted that they knew of, but what they was there to help them. And that I get through my family.
Another one of your laughs. I have to have a really good laugh.
Well, I want you to come back someday and visit us.
Oh, well,
too.
I am. I'm not.